Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watt on Jack Watts on Recovery, speaking to you live from magnificent Atlanta, Georgia, where there is not a cloud in the sky. I'm sitting 10 floors high, looking out over majestic Buckhead, and it is a magnificent day. There's virtually no humidity. All of it has been pulled down south of us, where the people a couple hundred miles away are getting 10 inches of rain. But we're enjoying this beautiful weather. All right. We have a lot to do today. We have a lot to talk about. I have a guest who will be calling in momentarily. And she has some particularly interesting things to talk about. Before I do that, I'm going to just read a prayer that I posted a couple of days ago on Pushing Jesus, my blog, and it has to do with a battle of the will. Father, I've wanted relationships and possessions you have not intended for me to have. I've wanted them so badly that I've come before you numerous times, whining and begging, beseeching you to bless my desires, and all you have done is refuse my demand. Insistent, I would not accept your answer and continued my relentless pursuit of making my will become your own. In my persistence, I steadfastly maintained that right was wrong and wrong was right, while deceiving myself into believing my purposes were selfless and noble. I ascribed righteousness to my desires as if seeking my end was the path to fulfillment and blessing rather than yours. In my foolishness, I did my best to deceive myself as well as you, but you remained firm, refusing my demands, knowing what was good for me. Still unwilling to bow my knee and accept your will, I manipulated events until frustration and exhaustion finally overwhelmed me. Steadfast, you never budged or changed your mind. Now, at the end of all of my willfulness and fretting, I finally bow my knee and accept your decision. Know it is, and know it shall be forevermore. There are still parts of me that don't like your answer, but you are in charge, and I am not. Now that I've submitted myself to your will rather than my own, I have begun to see things as you do, acknowledging your way is superior to my own. All right. Now, as we are talking about this, I am going to put on our first guest. Hello, this is Jack Watts.
Hello.
And hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can indeed. How are you?
Okay, good. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. I know that good. This is a little nervous for you to be talking on radio, but...
It is.
Okay, let's pick a name, not your own, and let's call you by that name as we talk today. What shall that be?
I don't know. Ange,
there you go. That's kind of a good one. Very down
right.
the middle.
Right.
Okay, Ann. I just read a prayer that I wrote and posted a couple of days ago that's about me trying to make God's will be my will. And
right.
as versus... just sitting back and allowing God to do what He wants to do in my life, and all of the frustration that causes. Now, you and I have spoken before on Facebook, obviously.
That's right.
And we have talked about your situation without giving your location or real name. Just talk about this a little bit, and let's just kind of get into this.
Well, I have been involved in a relationship for about 3 years with someone who suffers from a manic bipolar disorder, and on top of that is a recovering addict. And so those two things together are very difficult for someone to have a stable relationship in. I feel a huge lack of God in our relationship anymore. And, it wasn't so bad at first. We just thought it was the drug use, And so that was, dealt with. He went away for a while to St. Christopher's. It was dealt with for a little bit. And he came back, I think, too soon. And then moved back in with me and my children. And, just been really unstable ever since then. And even before then, coming and going during his manic episodes. And I'm also, in recovery and hope to stay that way forever.
Okay, now you're in recovery. How long and for what?
How long? My recovery has, I was a drug abuser, primarily cocaine, for about 13 years of my life. Closet case for about, 9 years, nobody really knew. And it wasn't really until I started dating people that had these issues and these problems as well that mine started coming to the forefront. And these people that I was dating, that I would date, would just end up being people that I had met in that social scene, if you will. And, they weren't anything serious, just a couple of dates, and until I met this man. And, he ended up having the same issues, and together we stopped. And so I've been sober, if you will, for over a year and a half. And
he has been sober for a year and a half?
Now he hasn't. He has relapsed into using a different drug, which is meth. And it's really affected him and my life. He went off to rehab and he came back, and he's been back for about 5 months. And it's a shame to say, I think, that his bipolar manic episodes wouldn't be so bad had he not abused that drug, but now it's kind of made it to where it's harder for doctors to get medication right for him. His manic episodes happen more frequently than they normally would have with someone that's just, it's very common for people that have this disease to look to be stable or normal in drugs. And I know it sounds crazy, but they just do. And so, I have managed to be sober I did go to some AA meetings and attended with him, but really church, did it for me. I came back to my roots and thank God I was raised completely different than this. I was raised in a Christian environment and, grew up going to Falls Creek and camps around here that we have. And when I hit rock bottom for me was seeing somebody that I loved doing that to themselves and realizing what I was doing to all of those around me, because I was now going through it with someone I was in a relationship with that I truly care about and love. And it took, I don't know why he was placed in my life, but it took me seeing someone destroy themselves that I love so much to see what I was doing. And so, you know, if anything comes from this relationship, it's that. But I definitely know that, you know.
Now you have three children, isn't that correct?
I do. I have three wonderful children, and oh gosh, I can't.
How old are they?
Tell you, I have a 7-year-old, I have a 10-year-old boy, and I have a 7-year-old little girl, and I have a 4-year-old little boy, and they are just the most amazing kids. They're so well behaved, and they're so polite, and I mean, they're just not like the other kids on the playground. They're just some really good kids, and I can't emphasize enough that God had to be looking out for them.
Now, he is not the father of these children, is that right?
He is not the father of the children. The father of the children happens to be going through his own battle with drugs and car wreck, and ended up becoming addicted to prescription drugs, and he's been like that for many years, and I finally just had to divorce him and leave him because of the children. So for me to be in another situation like this is very sad, you know.
So you divorced him for it, and then you fell in love with someone else having the same problem.
Right, the same problems. And but this man ends up having a severe bipolar disorder that he takes so much medication every day that it's a lot. It's a lot of medication.
So he went to recovery. And then came out, he was going to do great, and then stopped going to meetings.
To AA meetings. Stopped going to AA meetings.
Talking to his sponsor, and now he's using again, or
he's
probably
still,
using again.
Right. He still, takes his medication. But, you know, when you go to a doctor, they see you for such a little time that, you know, these people learn how to manipulate. Regardless if they're sick or not, you know?
That's absolutely, I mean, here's
and
here's
I,
the thing.
Having been there myself, you know how to manipulate when you're in that situation, and especially with your doctors.
If you're with someone and they are an addict or an alcoholic, or addicted to pornography, or whatever it is, whatever the addiction is more important than you are.
It is. It's more important. And being on the other side, for the first time in my life, being on the other side of a relationship where, you know, I'm okay now, you know, and it wasn't the meetings for me that saved me. It wasn't, I literally went to church and I just remembered who I was. It took me several times of going, and it was hard to get the kids dressed, and it was hard to get up and get into that routine, and with work and with doing everything around the house and pretty much being a single mom, it was difficult. And, you know, at first it was just work, but I did it. And as
well,
it became routine, I began to hear God, you know.
Well, good for you. I mean, here's the thing. God loves you.
Yes.
He has a plan for your life. He has good things for you and not bad. He is giving you three children, so you're responsible for four people's lives, yours and theirs. And you take care of them, but what's the problem is that you haven't been taking care of yourself.
I haven't, no.
No, and because if you're taking care of yourself, then you're capable of taking care of your children. But you haven't been taking care of yourself because you've been trying to make things work and fix things with someone that is unfixable.
It is, and for the first time since we really started talking on Facebook, you know, for the first time, I realized that I can't fix this. You know, I can pray, and I can pray in the spirit of faith, knowing that God will do it. But, you know, it's really up to Zara. This is not between me and God and him. It's between me and, it's between him and God, you know. And so
that's exactly right. But the thing
I really don't have a place there.
He has to want that himself. It isn't good enough that you want it for
it's
him.
It's not.
And what ends
it's
up
not.
Happening is that you become dysfunctional.
Yes.
By being so enmeshed with him.
Yes.
Which is going to end up, I mean, you've got these three kids that are the,
right.
are the best ones on the playground. 10
They're
years from
so
now,
good.
They won't be
right.
if you continue
right.
this path.
I'm very, very blessed that they, just in my own personal dealings and abuse with drugs, that they weren't ever, I don't know how they didn't turn out like the other children that I hear about and that I see, and that I don't know how they didn't turn out like that, because maybe because I was such a closet case about things, I don't know, but I know that God had to have their hand on them because they're just so good. It's like they've never had a mother that was like that, or they never, you know, and I'm very blessed. So that's been on my mind a lot lately, thinking about them and you know, maybe the habits that they might start to mimic because of me being with this man. You know, they're impressionable right now. They're so young. That what if they start to mimic these bipolar, you know, dysfunctions that this man has? What if they start to mimic the actions of an addict, you know, an active addict? What if they start to do that? And that's something that I, you know, I'm responsible for. I have the
well,
power
one of the things that you know, that you asked me early on is, can you make something work with somebody who has a bipolar personality disorder and an addict? Can that work? And I said, no.
No.
And when I said that, I know that stung.
Oh, it did. It did, but I needed to hear someone that's not connected with me personally, you know, that's here on the home front with me. I needed to hear that from someone who was educated and who has been, you know, through the things that you've been through and who just knows. And your opinion is only for the good, you know. You don't know me personally. You're not trying to spare my feelings. I needed to hear that.
Well, I absolutely positively know you needed to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's the thing. My suggestion was that you go to an Al-Anon meeting, even though it's more to do with recovery from alcoholism, but it also has people that are, I mean, drug addiction is just, you know, a
sure.
huge part of our society. So have you been able to go to a meeting yet?
Tonight is my first meeting. I will be there.
All right.
Yes, I was going to go Sunday.
Excited.
I pulled up Sunday, and I believe I messaged you. I pulled up Sunday, and there was no one there. So I just thought, you know, the devil really must be wanting me to stay away from this. This is obviously the path I need to be taking right now because, you know, I had the children's dad, you know, he has visitation now, and he is doing a lot better for a couple of hours, you know, a month. And so, you know, that's where he stepped in and said, you know, I'd like to help you. And he's also getting some help, which, you know, that's another story. But he decided that he would, you know, sit out at the pool with the kids while I went. And I went, and no one was there at the meeting. I was so disappointed. And so tonight it's a scheduled meeting. They will be there, and I'll be there.
Well, that's excellent. What do you want your life to look like in a year? Where do you want to be in a year?
In a year. Oh, gosh. In a year, I would like to get finished with my education. Or just, you know, on the way to furthering my education. I would like my kids to be a much stronger woman that, you know, I'm playing both a mother and a father here in this home, and I allowed somebody to come in that just isn't capable of providing a leadership role. So, you know, I'm just going to have to get better at that because that's just how things are around here. So.
One of the things that I think might be good for you would be to sit down and make a list with two columns and say, okay, 1 year from now, this is what I want. And put one column, all the things that you need to disentangle from, all of the things that are holding you back, all of the things that are keeping you from being everything that you're capable of being. And then on the other side, what are the dreams that you have? Where are you headed? And then just realize that it's a struggle to get from here to there, and you have to do it one day at a time. No other way to do it. Absolutely not. Now, listen, I want you to continue to listen. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to put someone else on the line. This is one of my associates, Stacy, and we're going to talk a little bit about your situation. I don't know that I'll be able to get back to you, but I want you to listen to the last part of the program while you're doing that. If that's okay. So I'm going to put you off and put her on. And listen, I want you to know something. Lord loves you, and He's got a plan for you. And you know, you don't have to. You can be in a much better place, and pretty quickly. All right, Anne, nice to talk to you. Hold on now.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hello, Stacy.
Yes.
Yes. Have you been able to hear?
Oh yeah, I've heard everything.
Well, I'm glad that you did. I Anne is a lovely person. She's got three children. She's fought her own battles with addiction, and now she is in love with a guy who loves her, but he has a bipolar personality disorder, and he's using. Or at least probably using. I'd say frankly that he is. And as we've been talking about this, I've just been thinking of some of the resources that we have that might be able to help Anne. And just by the way, for anybody who's listening, any of the things that we have are available on our website. What's that domain, Stacy?
It's www.mcgeepublishing.com. And McGee is spelled M-C-G-E-E.
Right. But anything that we have for Anne, we're just going to send to her. And we're going to give it to her because that's just the right thing to do. So what, just for where she is, she's a believer, and she's just being kicked around a bunch. She's got three lovely children, and she's just a delightful person. But boy, she's got a rough road to hoe, at least in the near future, because she's been pursuing this dead-end relationship. And it's hard because she loves the guy. And, you know, she married one man who had this problem, divorced him because of it, and found another one exactly like him and now has to essentially do the same thing. What are your thoughts?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is an old saying that says, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And that's a true statement. the other thing is, and I have sent her.
In AA, Stacey, we say that the definition of an insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yes. And it's true. I have sent Anne our Untangling Relationships. And it's a 12-unit program. And if she will take the time to go through it and realize that she's got to look out for herself right now. She's on the road to health. And this will give her some insight into the different relationships in her life and how she's gotten to where she is. And then it will give her some tools to move forward. And the sequel to that is Breaking the Cycle of Hurtful Family Experiences. And Anne, as you do the untangling, you can call or you can Facebook any questions that you have or anything we can do to help you. And when you finish, if you will let us know, we will send you the sequel to that, to Breaking the Cycle. And then there is another book that is, it will teach you and solidify in your mind who you are in the Lord. And that's our book, The Search for Significance. And
this is I think the key to everything is realizing who you really are in the Lord, because if you do, then you get to the place where you don't allow people to use and abuse you, and it'd be okay. Because what happens is that becoming is being abused by people emotionally and financially, or lots of other ways, becomes a pattern that is okay, because that's what's happened, and it isn't okay. And I know that if she doesn't break this cycle now, it's going to be passed on to those three children, who will pass it on to their children. And this is her time, this is the place for her to say no to some things that are destructive and yes to some things that are productive in her life, so that that passing on of the sins from the fathers, in this sense mothers, to the second and third generation, someone has to break that. And
exactly.
If she can do that, and she's motivated to do it, and she's got some of the tools. We've given her some, and we're going to give her some more. And she's made a commitment to find some women in her town to hook up with. So at any rate, I think that that's what we will do. And I've got about another minute, so I'm going to put her back on the air, Stacey. And thank you so much. Here I'm going to put Anne back on.
All right. My pleasure.
Anne?
Hello?
Hello, Anne.
Yes.
Hey. All right. So we've got 1 minute left, and I just thought I would say, here we are talking about you. You're the center of attention. What is your thought?
My thoughts are, I'm not going to let anything get in the way of my Al-Anon meeting tonight. I'm definitely going to go. I feel a strong push in this direction to read the books and get myself out of what I've gotten myself into through a life of
good
sin.
Good girl. I am very,
I can do this
very,
to God,
very
you know?
Proud of
and
you.
Thank you for being there, you and Stacey. I appreciate it. This has been a very, very difficult time. So I'm grateful. Thank you.
Well, listen, thank you, and the Lord bless you, and take care of you and those three wonderful children. And I just want to say to everybody, good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.